So I am an elementary teacher by training. I have my master's in curriculum and instruction, and I came to work at the Hope Heart Institute about 7 years ago, where they were like, we need to do heart research and education, do heart education. So since then, we've partnered with the Pacific Science Center in our area and a bunch of other community organizations to make sure the program is robust, it meets needs, it aligns with standards. And so we should just get on with it. But first, the Hope is a nonprofit birthed out of Seattle by a doctor, Dr. Lester Savage, over 50 years ago. And our primary mission is, like I mentioned, heart research and education. And I do want to give credit to the Center for Research and Learning that helped us do some of the evaluation, and the data that's presented in here comes from that. And Lori Collins and Jill Weber were huge in the data collection process. So I have no relationships to disclose. And our primary research question was, can Kids Take Heart, the Hope's school-based program, increase students and their families' participation in healthy behaviors? And just a little bit about Kids Take Heart. It's a no-cost, kit-based health and fitness curriculum. It has an anatomy unit that turns kids inside out, shows them how their cardiovascular system functions, and how they protect it with healthy lifestyle choices that come in the fitness unit, the nutrition unit, and then there's a stress and a goal-setting unit so they can hopefully apply what they've learned and set a goal to increase their participation in healthy behaviors. It's geared for 3rd through 5th grade. And it aligns, like I mentioned, with national and state health and fitness standards. Just to give you a scope of our work, we've been partnering with schools since 2005, and we've served just over 22,000 students and trained 38 teachers, and they work among 19 school districts and 8 private schools. So what were we measuring? What were we looking at? So we were looking at whether or not the program could increase students' awareness, interests, and knowledge relative to those 4 units. We looked at the likelihood that children would increase their participation in healthy choices, healthy behaviors by creating a SMART goal, a short-term goal. And then we looked at could the program increase parent-child conversations at home around healthy behaviors and healthy lifestyles. So a little bit about the research profile and data collection. And this is a snapshot from one season. And if you think about a school year, we've got, you know, fall, winter, spring quarters. So we looked at one season, and it was 1 public and 2 private schools. 30% were received free meals at school. And we did a pre and a post test with a sample size around 160, and we looked at student health logs where they wrote that goal and tracked their progress and reflected. And then at the end, we did a random sample of 10 parent interviews over the telephone. And what we found were that students did increase their knowledge. On the pretest, they had 49% accuracy, and on the post-test, 67% accuracy. And these questions were, what does the blood transport, like oxygen and carbon dioxide, what are the components of health-related fitness? If they were given a nutrition facts label for an apple and beef jerky, could they tell us why the apple was the healthier snack? If they were given examples of eustress and distress, could they differentiate which was positive and which was negative? Our second outcome that we measured related to their goal setting, and so we gave them options. They had the SMART strategy was their goal, where the criteria are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound, and then the FIT principle relates to physical activity, and it stands for frequency, intensity, time, and type, and essentially these two strategies are very similar. We recommended that they use the SMART strategy for nutrition goals and the FIT principle for physical activity goals, and their goal must answer these 4 questions on the left. What will you do, how hard, how much or often, and how long or until when? How will you know you reached your goal? And so what we found at the end of this quarter was that 37% met their goal, 44% did not, but a fairly large 19% were inconclusive based on the data they tracked. Based on the data that we had from them tracking their progress toward their goal. And I did upload on the online abstracts a handout that gives you trends among goals met not met and those that were inconclusive, which you may find very interesting. But we'll get to lessons learned, which I think kind of cook it down and let you infer. And then among the 10 random parent-guardian interviews that we did over the phone, 10%, or not 10%, but all 10, 100% indicated an increase in conversations around healthy behaviors, where they're reporting my child understands that the benefit to their body with physical activity. They're helping me read nutrition facts labels. We're now integrating one green or orange vegetable at each evening meal. These types of things were noted from those parent conversations. And so what did we learn? So basically the objectives for this session with you are to identify lessons that we've learned with regard first here to the pre and post survey and the design for an 8 to 11 year old. So they particularly had difficulty reporting their race, and so one possible way to address this is to collect it at open house or at parent nights or have a letter go home and have parents fill this information out for their child, and then it's collected at school and teachers can return that along with their teacher evaluation. They had difficulty with the response scale for the awareness questions. So they were asked, you know, considering your usual habits, how often do you participate in physical activity outside school, eat nutritious foods, talk with family about healthy choices? And the responses were never, sometimes, often, and almost always. And when we talked with teachers at a subsequent training after this evaluation was done, they were like, quantify it, make it concrete, number of days per week. So we did, and we're noticing students have an easier time responding. And then we also noticed, to our dismay, that there was a decrease in interest, but we think it may correlate just with their developmental stage. So also when talking with teachers after this was collected, they were like, kids are probably thinking, when you ask them, how interested are you in learning about the human body or about healthy habits or how to make them? They think, I did. I learned it. May have loved it. Ready to move on. What's the next topic? So not necessarily that they didn't enjoy their learn and enjoy their experience, but that they are just in their quest of becoming lifelong learners, ready for the next content area. Okay, so goal setting lessons learned, and this is my favorite aha. The data part is hard for me, but when you think about what it can, how it can infuse even more life into the program that you have, that's really my exciting area. So with the goal setting, the second one was we learned that there's some essential and necessary scaffolding required for students to be successful with their goal setting. And so what those include are you need to provide examples of what a realistic challenge is. You need to provide appropriate tracking examples. We did in our tool really outline and provide learning activities around how to make sure their goal was smart, but some of them had difficulty at the end of their two-week goal period knowing whether they met their goal by looking at what they recorded as progress. So they need appropriate tracking examples. They also need to troubleshoot. Our kits go out each October, January, and March, and in that time, there's inclement weather, there's holidays, there's trips, and so they needed troubleshooting examples. And then there were, since classroom teachers and PE teachers use this tool, there was a need to include tips in the lessons for teachers around what the national recommendations are for physical activity, and etc. So for a realistic goal, we wanted it to be within reach but not too easy or difficult, and so you can see some of the examples that we got back indicate, oh, there's some lack of clarity around what is too easy and what is too difficult, what is just right, how do we define that. So push-ups for 10 minutes, yoga once a week for 10 minutes, jump rope 1 minute 7 days a week don't necessarily get them towards that national recommendation. So appropriate tracking was needed. So provide examples of how to track progress toward that goal. So if they are doing a physical activity goal and they're going to do a certain activity certain number of times a week for 2 weeks, they need to, in that tracking, write down what they did and for how many minutes. If they're going to if their goal is to eat a certain number of fruits and vegetables related to their physical activity, they need to record what foods they ate, but also maybe how much or the number of servings. That was a discrepancy for us. They either put down the servings or they put down the food, but not both. So that led us, that data was inconclusive for us as to whether they met their goal. And then if they're substituting, for example, fruit for dessert, we want them to note, like, I ate this instead of that type of a piece. Troubleshooting examples. So for the reasons I mentioned, if it rains, what's their backup? If they go on vacation, what could they do instead? If they run out of fresh fruits and veggies, can they eat canned? If there's a holiday or a celebration, what will they do? And if they're moving, for example. So these are really important for the success of even their short-term goal and helping that data be more conclusive. And tips for instructors, we had a PE teacher in serving K-5 is going to see up to 300 third through fifth graders. So you have this big pool of information that if they assigned it some points, but it wasn't at all relative to whether they met their goal, you know, we have kids that are obviously developing in their knowledge and their skills and their understanding, but they're also savvy enough to be like, I just have to put some goal, some sentence in this paragraph and in this box, and I need to note something, but it doesn't really matter if I meet this goal. That's not what I'm getting points for. So we really, in the lesson, have tried to communicate with teachers, make this assignment and, you know, incentivize it, make it worth points, but do it carefully and thoughtfully. So they have to target an area for improvement, and it can't be something they're already doing. That goal needs to be smart or fit. It needs to meet all those elements to get all those points. They need to track progress toward their goal appropriately, meaning no inconclusive data. They need to accurately identify if they met their goal. And then they need to reflect on the experience. Basically, how did the task impact them? And then they would get additional points, but less points if they actually achieved it. So, and then also, like I mentioned earlier, including information about USDA guidelines for daily values and national recommendations for physical activity so that those teachers can coach the students towards meeting those national recommendations and guidelines. And then lastly, not only, you know, an intervention is wonderful, but you also need to provide opportunities. So the HOPE has really tried to provide this school-based program, the education, but also increase their access to opportunities. And so one way we've done that is Family Health Nights. And so it's usually a 2.5-hour gig. We co-plan it with the school. Molina Healthcare of Washington has been a co-sponsor. And we start the evening with Zumba. They have a free meal, which is a huge carrot in getting them to come. And it's a lot like a field day at the end of the school year that happens during the school day, but this happens after school. And so the whole family can come, and it reinforces healthy lifestyles, healthy foods, physical activity, and that they can do these things in a fun way. And it involves nutrition stations and physical activity stations. And then we also have a number of at-home health and fitness connections that are like paper pencil, but something they're going to their own pantry and measuring. They're creating an advertisement for why a food in their pantry is healthy. And they can do it with their parents to increase that dialogue. And then parent-student reflection on the student health log at the back. Probably the biggest way you can collect qualitative data from your students, if you work with students or from children in your community, is to ask them, how did this task impact you? And if it's an adult, how did this task impact your child and your family? And how do you know? And it's a lot more difficult to cook, but it's definitely going to help you in terms of providing information to your community to keep that program moving forward. And so the full report is at kidstakeheart.org, and if I'm open to questions if you have them. And then I also want to say a couple years ago we did an online training, and so we're very interested in partnering with people outside of our just local Puget Sound region if you're interested. One thing that's interesting to note, we developed this online training, but it's primarily like PE teachers are the most interested in the program, but that online training tool isn't necessarily their number one learning method. And so those are some things we're working through at this point. Okay. Thank you very much. Sure.
I was thinking when you mentioned incentivize, have you thought currently the incentive, or if you had the PE teachers count it more for a grade, it would kind of be a stick incentive. Have you thought of a carrot incentive for accomplishing their goal? You know, the National Football League. I've signed a million, you know, kids' report cards, you know, that they were in fact active. You know, are
right.
Very involved, trying to be active 5 days a week because they might win a chance to, you know, meet their favorite football star. Have you guys thought about adding any of that component into the program?
No, but it's an excellent one. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
My question was, in one of the slides, I think you indicated that your program had reached about 22,000 children in terms of education. And then another slide, you said you had actually communicated with 10 parents. And I'm trying to figure out, was that 10 parents out of the 22,000 children?
Right. So we serve about 3,600 students annually. And so this data was pulled from one season. So if you split, if you split that data into three seasons, this was like winter of one season. So 22,000 is from 2005 to present. And then, yeah. So it was about among 900 students, I think, that quarter. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.